For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Listeners, I'd like to introduce you to Kathy Swift. She's a nutritionist who designs curriculum for Food is Medicine and a co-author of a book on digestion very cleverly called The Inside Track. We're talking about digestion, and we might as well start off with why digestive health is so important.
It is so vitally important because many chronic health problems have their origins in the digestive tract. And this is because every time we eat, we are ingesting information. And this information has to be digested and absorbed in the body to keep all our cells, organs, and systems healthy. And so I often refer to our digestive tracts as our highway to health, or it can be our pathway to pathology and problems.
I like the way you say
so,
that.
So, you know, and interestingly, we have an epidemic of digestive disorders, whether it's reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, celiac, gluten intolerance, I mean, quite a few. But most interestingly is there are a number of disorders, including autoimmune conditions, neurological problems, and even, you know, depression and anxiety that are related to the integrity of our digestive tracts.
Well, Kathy, what you're telling us that there's a good reason that the most popular sales of over-the-counter remedies are for digestive symptoms. Let's go on and talk about, is there something about our diet that is fueling the digestive problems?
You bet there is. Our diets are loaded with many of the wrong types of foods, processed foods that are high in sugar, low in fiber, and really missing key nutrients important for health. We're also ingesting some foods that could be triggering adverse reactions in the body and disrupting our immune system, since most of our immune system is in the digestive tract.
Well, you've said that very well, and we repeat it, and it bears repeating. So what is the takeaway message? Let's have some tips for our listeners with regard to how they can improve their digestive health.
Well, there's a process I refer to as weed and seed. It's almost like fixing and rebooting a computer, you know, that gets a virus. And the weeding means that we take a look at our diet, we remove offensive foods. We often might start with the sugar load. It might be the wheat or dairy. So we weed out, you know, toxic ingredients and such. We also might consider removing if there's overgrowth of yeast or possibly an infection that could be problematic. And then the seeding is that we restore the integrity by feeding our inside tracts whole foods that are anti-inflammatory, and we may also use both pre- and probiotics to keep our friendly bacteria in the gut healthy. And we might even use repair nutrients such as glutamine or digestive enzymes. So all those things can be helpful.
Well, thank you. Good tips, and thank you for being with us, Kathy.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I'm glad that, you know, hopefully your listeners will make digestive health a priority.
Just a reminder, listeners, the conference Food as Medicine is coming up soon, June 7th to June 10th, sponsored by the Center for Mind-Body Medicine.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so don't forget to tune in. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, and my co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week. Well, actually, I'll be returning next week. Dana's going to be on vacation for a week, so next week I'll be tuning in with Dr. Ali Safayan, who is a medical doctor located here in the Washington, D.C. area, who has a wonderful experience with integrative medicine and is going to share with us a lot of really great insights into some of his approaches to integrative medicine, specifically related to to prolotherapy, which is a really interesting therapy. So don't forget to tune into that show. And today I'm going to be bringing you some great information. I'm supposed to have a special guest on with me today to discuss some aspects of omega-3 fatty acids and how they relate to omega-6, but my special guest is as of yet missing in action. So we're going to cover that same topic, and it's an interesting one because we're going to be discussing some aspects of fish oil. Now, we've talked about fish oil on the show. Oh, man, I can't even remember how many times we've talked about fish oil. It really is one of the most popular supplements in the alternative medicine world, and it certainly makes for good conversation because it relates to so many different conditions. We've talked about fish oil related to chronic pain issues, fish oil related to mental emotional status, fish oil related to gynecological and female hormone balancing issues. We've talked about fish oil related to heart disease and heart health. I mean, fish oil relates to gastrointestinal health. I mean, fish oil, it relates to so many different aspects of our health. That's nothing new. I'm not going to try and berate you on the same exact points that we've been bringing home the entire time, but today we're going to shed a little bit of different light on fish oil, mainly in lieu of some of the research or some of the news it's been making in and around the major media. For example, there was a recent study that came out from the Archives of Internal Medicine suggesting that fish oil actually isn't as good for heart health as we thought it was. Well, that's funny because some of the strongest research on fish oil has been for heart health. So what's going on with that? Well, this is, in my opinion, one of the classic scenarios that comes up where you can really sort of make data look however you want it to look. You know, statistics are only as good as how you use them. And there are certainly ways that you can skew statistics to show positive outcomes or negative outcomes. And this happens all the time in the natural supplement industry and the natural supplement world. For example, we've known for so many years, there's so many research studies, human clinical trials, not rat studies, not mouse studies, not monkey trials, human clinical trials suggesting the benefits of vitamin E. But about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a huge onslaught of attacks against vitamin E showing that, well, maybe it isn't healthy for us. Maybe it increases risk of heart disease instead of doing what we thought it did for so long, which is decrease risk. Well, when you actually start digging apart the data, you see a couple things really come to light. Number one, the form of vitamin E that they were using in all these trials that showed it has a negative outcome was the synthetic form of vitamin E. And the synthetic form of vitamin E, you can recognize this very easily. And this is something that I teach people to do all the time when they're looking at supplements and they're deciding, you know, they go, hey, listen, doc, you know, how do I figure out if a supplement is worth taking? And I get this conversation from patients, I get it from family, I get it from friends, I get it at my neighborhood barbecues when I'm standing around, you know, hanging out with people who are interested in natural medicine. And there's some very simple rules. And one is look for what form of vitamin D it is. Vitamin D is usually listed as alpha tocopherol. And or D-alpha-tocopherol. That is the natural form of vitamin E that you'll usually see in supplements. If it's something that says DL-alpha-tocopherol, if there's an L inserted in there, the L is suggesting that it's a synthetic form of vitamin E, and the only reason why a supplement manufacturer would be using a synthetic form of vitamin E versus a natural form of vitamin E is to cut costs. And basically to produce a product that they can get a better price point on that's going to appeal more to the mass market. Now, regular natural vitamin E really doesn't cost all that much more than the synthetic vitamin E, yet all of the negative studies that we've seen in human trials have used the synthetic form. So stay away from that. When you turn over your supplement bottles and look at the labels and look at the ingredients, when it lists vitamin E, if it says DL-alpha-tocopherol, put it back on the shelf and grab the one that just says alpha-tocopherol or D-alpha-tocopherol. You don't want that L in there. That L stands for loser, and it stands for a synthetic form of vitamin E that you want to avoid. So, and again, some of the things that they did in these studies with vitamin E, they said that it people who took vitamin E had a higher risk of dying for any cause. Well, what they didn't tell you is that they selected only individuals in the study that already had advanced forms of diseases, specifically advanced form of cardiac or cardiovascular disease. They had already had a major cardiac cardiovascular event like a heart attack, or they had compromised cardiac function. So were they more likely to die of a condition or more likely to die because they were taking vitamin E or because they already had these major pre-existing conditions that made them more likely to have higher mortality anyway? Well, these are the things that you can do with data. These are the things that you can do with statistics to make them look like what you want. And I would say that there is oftentimes a backlash against natural supplements in the media pinpointing these studies that don't necessarily reveal the whole truth. Now, I'm not suggesting that every natural supplement is safe and shouldn't be subject to any kind of scrutiny or any kind of research. That is absolutely not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that before you believe something you read in the media, whether it's about natural supplements or even if it's about a drug or anything really, you really better know what you're looking at. And I would say that's particularly the case in natural supplements because the data oftentimes gets skewed. Take, for example, the big study they did at NIH on echinacea where they came out with this conclusion that echinacea doesn't work. Well, the problem was the way that they were doing the study, they were giving echinacea for a preventative type cause. Well, different parts of echinacea have a different ability to help your immune system respond. One part of the plant allows your body to have more of a baseline immune resistance, something that's more suitable to be taken sort of on a daily basis to upregulate your resistance to colds and flus. The other part of the plant is better suited for taking at the onset of an illness to help shorten the severity and duration. Well, they used the wrong part of the plant for the study outcome they were looking for. And this is simply because people, this world of natural medicine, there are so many variables when you're trying to fit it into the classic double-blind placebo-controlled research box that has set the standard for science and medicine for so long. There are these variables. The person who is directing the study, the person who was funding it, designing it, and all of those things was not an herbalist and did not seek out the appropriate information from an herbalist or from somebody who truly knows how to use this plant in order to design the study correctly. So the overall outcome of the study is that echinacea doesn't work. Well, echinacea didn't work because they didn't use the right form of plant for the outcome they were looking for. If they had used the right form of plant for what they were doing and what they were trying to prove in the study, they very well might have seen a different outcome or a different result. Same thing happened with the glucosamine chondroitin study, where they said it actually doesn't work. It doesn't provide any relief for mild osteoarthritis of the knee. But what they didn't include, or what the media ignored when they presented that and when that research made a huge splash in the traditional media, was that although it didn't help for people necessarily with mild arthritis, people with moderate and more severe arthritis, it actually helped a lot. So, that part didn't really come out. That was a little subpart of the study because that's not where the main study population was. And the media likes to sell papers. They like you to watch the news. And they know that millions and millions and millions of people take glucosamine and chondroitin supplements every day. So if they roll out a story that says, hey, this doesn't work, they may get more attention than if they confirm what everybody else already knew that, hey, guess what? This stuff actually works. Everybody who takes it would have been saying, yeah, well, I already knew that. That's why my knee pain is better since I've been taking it and why I take it every month. So there's been some interesting things that have come out in the media in regards to fish oil that's a little bit similar. And what I want to do in the show, at least for part of it, is kind of review some of that research that's come out and explain to you why it necessarily doesn't hold true, and then really explain to you some of the key factors involved with your diet that really what are showing us that can make your fish oil work so much better, meaning that if you're taking a fish oil supplement and you're doing certain things with your diet, you may really be negating some of the benefits that fish oil might be able to give you. So if you're taking the time to take it, you have a condition that fish oil seems to be useful for, you really need to understand these principles of diet and nutrition. So, before we go to the break, I also just want to make a quick, this is going to be my, Dr. Kevin Passero's public service announcement for the week, is basically, if you've been reading the papers, I always read the health section of the news every day I screen it, and there hasn't been a week that's gone by where I haven't seen something about the increased activity of ticks in our area this spring season. And this is due to the fact that we had a very mild winter, as we all know, and usually our harder winters where we get a deeper frost line and more deep freezes kills a lot of ticks and puts them into a state of dormancy so that they don't necessarily come back in such high numbers or so early in the season. With such a mild winter, the tick population in our area is going to be far worse than it has been in previous years. And with elevated activity of ticks, there's going to be elevated transmission of tick-borne illnesses, specifically Lyme disease, babesiosis, Bartonella infections. The ticks, as people have referred to them, are the dirty needles of nature. They harbor many different types, or they can harbor many different types of bacteria and viruses and other organisms that they easily transmit to a human host when they feed. So my public service warning announcement is just be very careful. There are some things that you can do to reduce your exposure. Number one, as much as I am a nature lover and I like to be out in the woods, this time of year I would suggest limiting your time in deep woods. If you are going to be in deep woods, wear long pants. You know, it looks really, really dorky, but what I will tell you to do is tuck your pants into your socks so that if the ticks, they hang out at the ends of grass blades, they hang out at the end of bushes, at the end of overgrowth, they can't jump really, they can't fly. What they do is as you walk by and you brush against their little leaf of grass that they're hanging on to, they attach to you. They can feel vibrations, they can feel you coming, they get ready, and they latch on to your shoe or to your pant leg, and then they crawl up your pant leg, or they crawl up your shoe, they get under your pant leg, and they find their way onto your leg, and that's why oftentimes people find them attached on the lower leg, they find them in the groin area, you can find them on your back, behind your ears, if you pick it up on your hand. So, like I said, it looks really dorky, but tucking your pant legs into your socks can actually, you know, reduce the likelihood that if you pick up a tick on your shoe, it's going to end up easily finding a place to embed. Wearing light color clothing is really helpful, like white or light color pants, because ticks are black. And so you may more likely see it crawling up your leg on your pant leg if you did happen to pick one up. Other tricks you can do, going to the store and getting like a deep woods insect repellent that has DEET in it. I don't really like recommending putting DEET directly on the skin, although they will tell you it is safe. It is a pretty harsh chemical. What I do is I will spray my boots, my hiking boots, the base of the boots and all around the sides and even the lower end of my pant leg with the DEET. And it is a known, very good known tick repellent. So if a tick happens to hop on your boot as you're walking by, you know, it may very well likely jump off because it doesn't like the repellent that's on your boot. Wearing long sleeve shirts and tucking your shirts into your pants, again, the less, if you don't give the ticks access to your skin, they got nowhere to go. So tucking your shirt into your pants is also another strategy, and just checking your clothes regularly. It's spring now, so the temperature isn't quite bad enough where, you know, you can still get away with maybe long pants and a long sleeve shirt and not be too miserable into the summer months. And then, of course, if you limit your time outside, limit your time in deep tick environments, and then as soon as you come inside, you need to shower off. That can definitely reduce the transmission rate of the organism, because when you shower off, you are very likely going to wash that tick off of your body. And that's, you know, an important thing to do. Checking yourself regularly when you come in and checking your kids. It was just yesterday I pulled a tick off of my 11-month-old son. And how did it get on him? He wasn't out in the woods. He wasn't even out in the yard. Our dog was out in our yard, came in. I guarantee you my dog brought it into the house. He was crawling around on the floor, and it was probably, we gave him a bath in the morning. It was about 2 hours later. We went to change him, and we found a tick on his back. So, you know, this is a tough season. You got to be careful. And day in and day out, I work with people with these tick-borne infections. They are not fun to treat. They are not fun to get. And if you have a high level of awareness, they are somewhat preventable. Keeping your lawn shortly mowed so that the grass is nice and low. And then you can even, most lawn companies, you can have them come out and they can apply a single application of a tick insecticide. Now, I'm not a big fan of using a lot of insecticides, but what they show is one single application around this time of year can reduce the amount of ticks in a yard by 80 to 100% for one entire year. That is a huge level of protection with one single application. What I do in my yard, I have a lawn company that comes out and they use a chrysanthemum, which is a flower. They use a special extract from chrysanthemum, which is a very strong tick repellent. And they spray my entire backyard as well as my fence lines, all of the boundaries, all of the bushes, all of the areas where ticks will hang out. If I keep my lawn short and I get one of those applications done in the early spring, I can be pretty well ensured that I'm going to have a lot less issues with ticks in my yard. And after the incident yesterday, it's been on my list to do, but I know my dog's picking them up from the yard, so the guys are coming out tomorrow to take care of it. So that's my public service announcement. It is incredibly important. Be aware. That is the best way to be preventing. My cell phone's buzzing in my pocket, which means my special guest just figured out that he was running a little bit late, and we're going to be picking him up at the next segment of the show, and we're going to be talking about this fish oil story. So stay tuned, everybody. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Pocero, and I will be back next week. My co-host Dana Lake will be on vacation. Good for her. It's a great, great time to get away. I hope you all take advantage of the opportunity. And it's a great time to be around in the area with the weather finally turning nice. We're here today talking about a variety of issues, mainly discussing omega-3 and omega-6. My special guest was able to tune in. We found out that his red-eye flight from L.A. into JFK was delayed, which is why he wasn't able to be on the phone with us in the first segment, but he is here. And we're going to be talking about some of the stuff I introduced in the last segment relating to this aspect of not everything you hear in the media about natural supplements you need to believe. And we're going to talk about this new study I alluded to, suggesting that fish oil isn't as beneficial for cardiovascular health as we previously thought it was. It made a big splash in my world because when one of these stories comes out, I get lots of calls and lots of emails from people saying, well, so what should I do? Should I stop taking my fish oils? They're not working. You recommended I take it because, you know, I'm at risk for cardiovascular disease. Am I wasting my money? So it's really important for me as somebody who's recommending people do these things to really be on it. So anytime one of these issues or one of these studies come out, I really do my due diligence to make sure that what they're saying is legitimate. And as I pointed out in the first segment, you know, I'm not suggesting that natural supplements shouldn't be scrutinized for their safety and for their efficacy. I absolutely believe they should, but we need to make sure that the data is fair, and we need to make sure that the story is not being printed or published because the paper wants to sell more media time or sell more papers, that it's actually being sold out of accuracy. And today we're going to talk about why that new study is not necessarily the most accurate reflection of what fish oil can or cannot do. So Christopher Speed is on the phone with me, and Chris is a nutrition director and founder of Minami Nutrition USA, purveyors of the highest concentrated omega-3 supplements on the market that have unprecedented levels of quality and formulation. And of course, we have him on because this is his life. Omega-3s, fish oils are his career, and so he is going to be way up on this. He's written for and educated healthcare professionals about optimal nutrition and the role of nutritional supplementation in the medical setting, focusing on omega-3 supplementation and the impact of nutrition on heart disease and degenerative disease risk. He's aware of key research that provides irrefutable reasons why supplementation goes beyond providing basic nutritional requirements and is capable of enhancing quality of life by having a direct impact on performance, emotional status, and overall well-being. As a dietitian, he worked for many years with patients to manage systemic inflammation, cardiovascular risk factors, emotional well-being, and provided nutritional guidance based upon a life stage and gender consideration. He is a Master of Human Nutrition and Dietetics from the University of Sydney and continues his academic work as an Associate Educator of the European Journal of Cancer Prevention. So, Chris, thanks so much for being on the show with us today.
Absolute pleasure to be here as usual.
Now, please, I've alluded to it. We've talked about it. Shed some light. Can you introduce kind of what the findings of the study were for people who didn't hear about it? I mean, I see one of these studies, and I'm like, oh, my God, everybody must know about this. But that's only because it's my world and my career and my business. Other people go along their daily lives. They'll have never heard of this. So can you explain a little bit about, you know, what the negative kind of press showed and then maybe talk about why it wasn't such a great reflection of the actual research on fish oil?
Sure. In simple terms, it evaluated trials of omega-3 supplementation that many of your listeners would be engaged with. We're not talking about several grams a day. We're talking about around 750 to a little bit more than a gram of total omega-3 supplementation on a regular basis. And they found when looking at how this correlated to a reduced risk in cardiovascular disease, that there was no association, which in its first right was quite interesting. Even the sum total of all the subjects that they evaluated this data from was still pretty considerable. There does appear to be some bias analysis, which means that to a certain extent data was cherry picked. There may well have been two, possibly even three, trials that were not included in the data analysis that showed overwhelming correlations with the importance of supplementation to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. And independent of this, very large intervention trials that have been held among tens of thousands of subjects have actually showed consistently completely different outcomes, reflected in lowering significantly not just heart disease but all-cause mortality, so from all other forms of potential morbidity. So this doesn't mean that we shouldn't take this review seriously, and as you correctly pointed out, it's important that the entire industry, especially the natural food industry, become scrutinized as much as any other industry. But it certainly appears that the methodology by which this paper was assembled was definitely poor, and most probably doesn't really reflect a very, very true accurate outcomes and meaningful effect that Americans could be obtained from omega-3 supplementation, especially from fish oil sources.
Yeah, so let me give you the specifics here for everybody who cares to know them. This study was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, which is actually a pretty prestigious journal. In the current study, researchers, and I'm reading this directly, I'm going to give credit where credit was due, from an ABC News report I actually pulled off the web. In the current study, researchers from South Korea analyzed 14 clinical trials involving more than 20,000 patients with cardiovascular disease who had taken fish oil supplements for at least 1 year and found the supplements did not reduce the risk of having another heart attack. So it looks like they had a previous cardiovascular event, stroke, congestive heart failure, or any other cardiovascular catastrophe. So, and then it goes on to say the study confirms what fish oil skeptics have been saying for years. Now, I'm going to read you some quotes on the other side that are pretty impressive as well. But talk to us a little bit, Chris, about you had sort of briefly alluded to this. Was there an issue in this study that had to do with dosage? Because, you know, a lot of times that happens in, you know, when they try and take a natural supplement or a natural product and actually put it through a clinical trial, one that has for years had some other clinical research behind it or had some, more sort of anecdotal usages for a condition. And the problem is, or why this doesn't work, is, you know, the therapeutic dose might be 2,000 milligrams. When they decide in the study, they give people 200 milligrams. So it's like, well, no wonder why it didn't work. You totally missed the boat. It'd be like designing a trial for a drug and the effective dose of the drug is 50 milligrams, but you try and prove its efficacy with 1 milligram. It's just not going to work. So by your knowledge at all, was there a dose issue at all involved in this study?
There may well be a dose issue, in because in some of those trials, definitely the omega-3 supplementation was less than half a gram a day, which is what the American Heart Association recommends as a really ideal starting block. However, among sort of more progressive institutions and groups globally that are really researching this very closely, they're saying that you really only get to a meaningful dosage when you get to about 1 gram a day. So 1,000 milligrams is definitely higher than what is used in many of the common trials that were included in this. But actually, probably one of the more important things that has come out of how we analyze this type of research, and that the NIH are actually looking at very, very closely, is that when you get benefits out of increasing your omega-3 status, what you're also doing is reducing the pro-inflammatory effects of omega-6s in the body, and that when some key research has been reanalyzed, what they did not look at was how much omega-6s were being consumed by the population being studied. So in other words, they may well have been getting a meaningful amount of omega-3s, but because omega-6s weren't being analyzed, and when they did go back to the data to reanalyze the data, they were simply getting so much omega-6. What that does is essentially reduce any of the efficacy outcomes from omega-3.
Right.
And
so,
really,
yep, go ahead.
Yeah, and what that's doing now is really getting us to sort of think about not just focusing in on supplementation of omega-3s, but really achieving an omega-3 and omega-6 balance. This link, this imbalance, which many of your listeners would be aware of, most Americans are consuming far, far, far more sixes than what they should be, has been linked to a whole range of ailments and diseases. And indeed, it may well be this one important element that was omitted from the meta-review, finding, obviously, the little poor effect on cardiovascular disease.
Okay. Yeah, and that's definitely an issue I want to touch on, because this is what I alluded to in the first segment. If you're taking fish oil, it's now, as Chris is pointing out, who really stays on top of all the research around omega-3 fatty acids, it seems increasingly important to understand what you're doing with the rest of your diet. And if you're not doing things properly with the rest of your diet as far as balancing these omega-3s and omega-6s, your fish oil supplementation might not be as beneficial for you as if you were. Now, I just want to read this other excerpt from this ABC News story, because I think this sums it up right here. So they interviewed this one doctor, Dr. Robert Eckel, who's a professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine and past president of the American Heart Association, who says, that basically, fish oil is a little bit fishy and we really need to pay attention to this study. The question is, what do these relatively small doses of omega-3 fatty acids do? And this study shows they do nothing, he said. But then they went on. And here I'm going to read this right from the story. But others say the possible heart benefits of fish oil should not be so quickly dismissed. In a commentary published with the study, Dr. Frank Hugh, a professor of nutrition and epidemiology at the Harvard School of Public Health, and Joanne Manson, chief of preventative medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, said the authors excluded two large studies investigating omega-3 fatty acids that found beneficial effects of fish oil supplements. Those studies would have swayed the analysis to show a protective effect of fish oil against cardiovascular disease, they wrote, and the data should not simply be ignored in evaluating overall evidence. So, this is, again, they cherry-pick the data, as Chris pointed out. When you do a meta-analysis, you're looking at research studies that had already been done, and you're pulling from those results and then creating new conclusions. And so if you leave out certain key studies when you're screening for what studies you want to include to get your conclusion, you can pretty much already determine what the outcome of the study is going to be before you even do it, based on the meta-analysis that you picked. And it looks like, based on this physician from Harvard and this physician from Brigham and Women's Hospital, that a little bit is at play here, because there are two other studies that would have completely turned this data around. Now, when we come back from the break, Chris, I want to educate the listeners about this key aspect of nutrition that needs to be taken into consideration when it comes to balancing omega-3s and omega-6s and really getting the most out of our omega-3 fatty acid supplements and fish oil supplements, because regardless of what this story says, we've definitely helped you at least hope understand that, this is still a worthwhile supplement to consider taking. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember, Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why a cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so set your dials and tune in. We're always bringing you fantastic information related to health and wellness. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. I co-host the show with Dana Lake. She's going to be off on vacation next week, so you'll get me again 2 weeks in a row. Hopefully you won't mind that. I certainly won't mind being with you. Today we're talking about omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acid issues, and we're going to talk in this segment about some nutritional factors that help your omega-3 supplementation work better. In the last segment, we talked about this new study that had come out suggesting that fish oils weren't as good as we thought they are, and some of the problems and key issues that were involved in that study and why it may not necessarily be as accurate a reflection of what the headlines looked like. Just want to let everybody know the show is sponsored by the Village Green Apothecary, which is a integrative pharmacy located right here in Bethesda, Maryland. They've been operating out of this area for over 40 years, providing the community with lots of holistic health services, a regular pharmacy and compounding pharmacy. We are about to go through a huge renovation to completely update the facility, which is going to make it absolutely beautiful and environmentally friendly. So that is really exciting. If you want to listen to any of our previously recorded shows from the last 5 years that we've been doing it, you can go to www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, there is a little microphone, little radio microphone, and if you click on that, it'll take you to the archive show section, and you can download for free any of our previously recorded shows. There's a wealth of information there to help educate you on health and wellness. So I have on the phone with me Christopher Speed, who is the nutrition director and founder of Minami Nutrition, purveyors of high concentrated omega-3 supplements and that have unprecedented levels of quality, purity, and formulation. He has a master's of human nutrition and dietetics from the University of Sydney and continues his academic work as an associate editor of the European Journal of Cancer Prevention. Chris, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Pleasure to be here.
I'd like you to educate our listeners now in this next segment about this
which you alluded to in those last segments, some of this new research that's suggesting that really the balance of omega-3s to omega-6s is incredibly important. And if you have a lot of omega-6s in your body and coming in, even if you take omega-3 supplements, you're not going to potentially not get the same benefit. So take us back as a dietitian and give us a little educator course on the difference between omega-3s, omega-6s, where they come from, how we balance them, where fish oil plays into it, and just kind of give us a good overview here.
Sure. The plight of westernized diets, the way we eat in most westernized countries, especially the United States, is that we are now eating far, far, far higher levels of omega-6 in our diet than what we did 100-plus years ago, even 50-plus years ago. And in fact, just to give you some numbers to support that, we're now currently consuming around 8% of our dietary and energy intake in the form of omega-6s, when only about 50 to 75 years ago, it was only about 2 to 3%. Now, the reason why this is the case is because in the late 60s, early 70s, the entire food industry became quite obsessed with reducing saturated fats in its dietary supply for humans. So what they did was they removed all of the animal-based fats, which to a certain extent were a good thing, but I think as we look back, I think they sort of evaluated that they was a bit of an overkill to do that. But what they then did was they then added plant-based fats into those oils, in particular soybean, vegetable oils, and these kind of oils. And one thing that's synonymous with these oils is they're extremely high in the omega-6s, whereas other plant-based oils, coconut oil, macadamia nut oil, or even olive oil, appear to be much, much lower in the omega-6. So what this has simply meant is that for Americans to shop in the supermarket and consume a diet that's low in six, it's very, very difficult because it's in anything processed, anything that you basically get, even if it's considered to be organic or quote-unquote healthy. Now, this omega-6 intake is a really important thing just for us to focus on, and it is as important as focusing in on getting enough omega-3s in the diet. Why? Well, because omega-6s have completely opposing effects in the blood and in every one of the 700 million cells in the human body. And what actually happens is when we're eating a diet high in six, let's say that we haven't made the wisest choice to change to olive oil in our cooking, let's just say we're eating too much fast food, we're eating basically a very high six diet. What actually happens in every single one of those cells in our body is they have a hormone effect. In fact, omega-3s and omega-6s have a vitamin-like effect. They produce hormones, and the ones that are produced from omega-6s are pro-inflammatory. That means that if you're taking too much six in your diet, every one of your cells tends to be in a higher inflamed state. Now, inflammation, as we're increasingly becoming aware of, is one of the hallmarks of chronic disease. So as a result of that, if we could try and bring down omega-6 intake in our diet, you will have an immediate effect on reducing inflammation. And that's a really, really, really pretty incredible thing to think about. Now, what actually happens is omega-6s produce a compound in the blood called arachidonic acid. Now, arachidonic acid is the baddie. That's the one that we really need to be removing from our cells, and we need to be ensuring that we consume far, far, far less of the parent omega-6, which produces arachidonic acid. Now, on the other side of the equation, and this is really where we're only becoming interested in, and I think we're focusing just too much on omega-3 supplementation, is the fact that if we could get our omega-3 intake up to at least a gram a day, which is really where consensus has been reached, what we do is two things. We end up producing hormones that are anti-inflammatory, so they have an opposing effect to omega-6s. So if we eat more seafood, if we eat more green leafy vegetables, more flax, plant and marine-based omega-3s, what we do is we have a vitamin-like effect, which is really good for our health, and that every one of those cells becomes less inflamed and less likely to precede disease and ailments and so on. Now, this isn't just heart disease. The National Institutes of Health have linked this imbalance to many different types of outcomes within the metabolic syndrome spectrum, thinking about diabetes, weight gain. There appears to be a very big link here. But it also affects things like mood disorders and even a potential impact on depression. Our returned servicemen and women from Iraq eat probably even higher levels of six in their diet than what the current average American does. And as a result of that, may well be placing themselves in high risk of depression and mental diseases down the line, let alone chronic heart disease risk and so on. So really incredible growing amount of research is showing that if we can simply focus on our 6 and 3 imbalance by making much better choices from a dietary standpoint, we could be really doing a lot to fight off, you know, disease in down the long run. And it's most certainly not just about getting enough omega-3s, but really working on finding out where the 6s are in your current diet and reducing them as much as possible.
Well, that certainly makes a whole lot of sense. And really, I think it's a great point to bring up because people don't necessarily make huge changes to their diet, but, you know, it's really easy to go out and get a fish oil supplement and feel like, you know, you're making a difference. And I'm sure getting the omega-3s in is certainly isn't harmful, but what you're pointing out, it's much less effective if you're still saturating your body with those omega-6s because, as you pointed out, they have that vitamin-like effect in our system that promotes inflammation. And just taking additional vitamin 3 or omega-3s isn't just going to reverse that. So that nutritional aspect of it, I think, is, you know, so key. So let's review just real quick. Can you list some of the worst offending, like what foods, if you were trying to encourage somebody to really clean up their diet and reduce their omega-6 influence, which are like the worst foods that you would have them try and start cutting out or replacing with something else that's maybe a little bit healthier?
Well, it should be of no surprise to anyone listening that if you can remove all fast foods and all processed foods from your diet, you will definitely reduce your 6, because these typically are made with the cheaper commodity oils, which are very, very high in 6. But the reality is, and even in my life as a dietitian, that's not realistic for everyone. So what we ask people to do is, when you're buying a product, look at what oil is being used as an ingredient in producing that product. So it was only yesterday I was in a store in LA, and I was showing a customer to choose between two different products. One was using olive oil as the fat in that product. The other one had soybean oil. Now, the one with olive oil would have had a much lower level of omega-6. Now, the only problem that makes it difficult is, in most processed foods, they don't disclose how much 6 there is. So you have to be a little bit aware of what type of fats are typically lower in 6. So olive oil, in this instance, would have been a good thing to do. And obviously, just eating less fast food, takeout foods in general, is not going to just be good from an omega-6 standpoint, but also be good from a caloric management standpoint, therefore weight management standpoint. One of the easiest things we can do is just make an oil change. Stop cooking with soybean oils and vegetable oils as you saute your onions. You know, if you're making spaghetti bolognese, as an example, think about including more olive oil. Think about using coconut oil. Think about using macadamia nut oil, which all have the one very important thing in common: they're very, very low in omega-6s. From a animal standpoint, for those people who do eat meats, chicken is actually one of the products in our diet that produces a lot of omega-6, because we feed our chickens a lot of corn and whole grains, which then mean in their flesh they retain and produce even greater amounts of 6. It is better to try and choose grass-fed beef, pork, these kind of meats, because you will find that if the animals are fed on grass, their flesh will have much, much lower levels of 6. And like most diets, you know, don't just rely upon meats to give you nutrition. Think about consuming more fruits and vegetables, which are typically very, very low in omega-6s. And then if you can try and follow that pattern, then you can really achieve a lower 6 intake. Another thing to think about is it's not just about getting rid of the 6s, it's about balancing. And a great story that sort of brings this message to mind is Dr. Ansel Keys went to Crete in the 50s, and he found that actually no one on the island of Crete in Greece died of heart disease. Basically, it was extremely rare to die of heart disease. People on that island simply died of very old age, very happily. And the thing that he found was that they were able to balance their 6 and 3 intake. So listen, they might have had pasta, they might have eaten whole grains, which are relatively high in 6s, but they were also eating a lot of omega-3s. They had a lot of green leafy vegetables. They ate a lot of seafood. So that at that meal, they balanced their 6 intake with as much, if not more, omega-3s. And it's really thinking about nutrition in that way, through the whole food form preferably, and if not, so in other words, you're not eating enough fish on a regular basis, seeking out omega-3 supplements so that you can really get your level of omega-3 up as high as possible. while also making some appropriate changes to your omega-3 intake.
Yeah, let's not forget that although omega-6s do and are responsible for inflammation, which contributes to a lot of different conditions, remember that omega-6s are not bad. They just need to be balanced. Your immune system needs to have a balance between inflammation and anti-inflammation or anti-inflammatory effects. If your immune system can't appropriately mount an inflammatory response, you can't appropriately defend yourself against infection. You can't appropriately heal your body after an injury. Inflammation and omega-6 fatty acids, your body does need them. It's not a question of not having any. As Chris has pointed out, it's a question of balance. And the balance in the standard American diet is incredibly off. Chris, I've heard everything, you know, the ratios, the ideal ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 from what I've heard, and maybe you can shed light on this, is about one omega-3 fatty acid for every four omega-6s. So a ratio of about 1 to 4 where omega-6 is predominant. Is that roughly accurate?
Yeah, and the reason why that is accurate is that's what even in Japan most Japanese people are currently consuming, and that's almost the benchmark. Because I do see people saying, oh, you should be achieving a one-to-one relationship. I've never met anyone who could do that, and I think it's almost impossible to do so, just quite simply because there's so much six in the diet. And I appreciate what you just emphasized. Sixes aren't the evil, right? It's just because we do need a little bit of them. They are essential fatty acids. They are essential for production of hormones. They are pivotal to health and wellness. It's just that we're getting so much more than what we need to give that minimum amount. That's what we need to be trying to do. Bring it back as much as we can, increase your threes, and you'll definitely be in a far, far greater state. And people say to me, are you telling me that literally every one of your 700 million cells in the body reflects lower inflammation by changing 6 and 3? And the answer is very, very loudly, absolutely.
Yeah.
So by making those very meaningful changes, you can do everything you can to reduce your inflammatory status and obviously the likelihood of the onset of disease.
Yep, absolutely. And so the average American diet, that ratio can look like 1 omega-3 to anywhere from 20 or 40 omega-6s. So you can see just by those ratios how skewed we are towards inflammation, and maybe that explains why Americans are so susceptible to a lot of the inflammatory-related conditions like heart disease and certain cancers and many other problems. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to pick this discussion up. Hopefully it was useful and entertaining for you. Don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 36, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals. Committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass-market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements.
We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. We only got a couple minutes left in this last segment because we took up so much time talking about so many other good topics. We've been discussing omega-3 and omega-6 balance. And in the last segment, Christopher Speed, my special guest, gave a wonderful nutrition overview on how to really help balance your omega-3s and 6s and why it's important. In this last segment, in the last few minutes that we have left, Chris, I would love for you to educate the listeners about how to find and how to choose a good omega-3 supplement. What are you looking for, and how do you sort of differentiate the good stuff from the bad stuff?
Well, there are really two types of products in the marketplace. One are fish oils, and that's basically a fish that's been squeezed, cleaned, and put into a capsule. And unfortunately, it's extremely low in concentration with what we need. None of the listeners right now are deficient in fish oils, but I would say that if they reflect what most Americans are, they are most definitely potentially deficient in omega-3s. So what we want to try and get people to think about is look for, seek out omega-3 supplements, which are the antitheses of fish oils. In other words, when you look at that capsule or when you're about to take that tablespoon of a liquid, is the majority of what is contained in that product omega-3s? Because most fish oils in the marketplace only provide between 200 and 320 milligrams of omega-3 per 1,000 milligram capsule. So obviously there's a disconnect there. If people are buying a fish oil to get omega-3s, yet 70% of the volume of what they're eating is not omega-3s, well, what's up with that? And I think more consumers are understanding this. Now, the only way you can really find this out is to read the label. And it will actually say on the label how much omega-3 is in one capsule. Remember, some labels will tell you how much is in two or three. So if it's per two or two capsule, then you have to divide the total amount of omega-3 in half. So what you'll typically see is per two capsules, 600 milligrams of omega-3, meaning that in one you get 300. Now, one thing about the Manami line, which is really unique, is the fact that we are the highest concentrated oils in the marketplace with the highest dosage. And that means that in one capsule, you get at least 800 milligrams and even goes up to 1,100 milligrams in one single capsule. That means the average consumer can reach that 1 gram in as little as one, maybe two capsules a day, which is really, really, really unique and what provides an incredible selling opportunity for individuals. And it also makes it an affordable oil because you're getting so much more omega-3 bang per buck.
Yeah, that's great information, and I really think that is important for people to understand. You can buy a fish oil product, and it may say 1,000 milligrams of fish oil on the label, but how much of those beneficial omega-3s are you actually getting? You have to turn the bottle around. You have to look at the label. If you're going to spend the money and you're going to take the time to take an oil, you got to know what you're taking. And as Chris pointed out, minimum amount that they've said to be helpful is 500 milligrams of the good omega-3s that are in there. So if there's just a couple hundred in there, you're not getting what you need. And the other issue, of course, is the purity and potency. And Manami, I know, Chris, we got to wrap up, but I'm going to plug your company and say that, you know, their process of purification is second to none and is what allows them to be able to produce such a high quality, high potency, incredibly pure product only by fish oil supplements that you know are incredibly pure. And to find that out, you got to talk to people who know the industry really well. So it's a great opportunity to come into the Village Green and talk to the staff members there. So, Chris, we got to wrap. Thanks so much for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure, and I really appreciate everything you do.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for today. I'll be back next week. Can't wait to talk to you. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.